37, as we continue on our through the patriarchs, and we're on Jacob with Joseph and the dysfunctional family. But what I'd like to do tonight is really, I'm going to take the rest of this chapter next week, but I'd like to take one truth and then go through the Bible and have us think about it. We've thought about it before, we've taken about it, but I want you to come up to the one truth that we're going to do, and because there's really not a wrong answer, but we're going to cover a couple of them. And then I want you to help. I'll go and read a verse, and I'll want you to then tell me what that answer would be to a question that we might ask. But as we look at Joseph, we learn about his dreams, and now this one is where he goes. This, the passage from the next verses that we see are talking. His father goes and asks him. Jacob goes and asks him, go see his brothers. And we'll cover more of that next week. I want to take the whole passage to have time to really deal with the passage and different principles there. But what I want you to see is, and think about this evening, is why do you think, what was it in their life, or what character trait, what happened in their life that they so despised Joseph? What was the one thing that we see that they did? What is the character trait that we see? Look what it says down there, and it says the man, verse 18, and chapter 37, and when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him, cast him some pit, and we'll put him in a pit, and we'll say some evil beast has devoured him. And we go on and see the rest of the story, which we'll cover a little more next week. What is it? What did they do? What was manifested in their life? Jealousy, okay. Where did the jealousy come from? Or maybe should I say, what did the jealousy boil up to be? What do you think? Okay. But I'm looking for a principle that we are going to, that I want us to think about tonight. What controlled them to do that? What? Sin nature. Pardon me? All your answers are right, but I want to get to one thing that you... We'll see, so we can think about this tonight. There, yes, we could talk about covetousness. We could talk about the sin nature. But in that sin nature, what is it that they, that, well, let me ask you sometimes, is there a emotion that you have sometimes that controls you, that's in your sin nature, that causes you to just, what caused them to do this? Anger. All of it, hatred, yes. Hatred, anger. What is anger? Well, we realize that anger, and I've done, this is something different than what I've done with the men. The EMT, we went covered anger, but this is a little different look or different things from, but we want to talk about anger tonight a little bit. But when God talked to Moses, and he told Moses to not strike, just speak to the rock to bring water. Do you remember what God said to him? You disobeyed me. In other words, what it was, you didn't believe me, he said. And he was angry. Moses was angry. What had happened? The people kept... He had a million of people on his shoulders. They were complaining, whining. They saw God's power time after time after time. And then he goes, and before it struck the rock, but this time God said no. And he says, you didn't have faith in me. You didn't believe me. So what would be the root of anger then would be what? Unbelief. Do you realize that when you and I don't really believe, we have unbelief towards something that God has for us, really the root of that whole thing is anger. Well, no. Anger is when we what?
blow up and lose it. And
well, there's two types of anger. There's clamming up and what? Blowing up. But with there, but we see that in order to solve that, of course, anger, that unbelief, you have to have a right view of God. But anger is a strong emotion of displeasure. As Jim Berg has so said when we did the Quieted Soul, it's a strong emotion of displeasure. Now, that can either be good or bad, can it? Should you have a strong emotion of displeasure towards sin? Yeah, we should be angry towards that. It's a strong emotion of displeasure that makes a demand that something change before we will be content. Think of that. Okay, let's just use sin. Do you so despise sin that you're so displeased with that emotion of displeasure until there's a change that you're content with no sin? Of course, it goes the other way too. And then it really then generates great energy for the purpose of change or eliminating the person or circumstance that displeases us. Now we're coming right to where? Joseph and his brothers. They were displeased. They had a very strong emotion and energy and displeased about their circumstances and a person that really irritated them. And this anger distorts then what you're going to do because it never sees the entire picture as God sees it. We see that it's either that we are displeased at what God is displeased about, or we're all about our self-interests. And so this evening, I want to just give you what the Bible gives us some insights about anger and the bitterness. And there's 600 references in the Bible about anger. 600 references. Now, let me ask you something. When someone keeps saying the same thing, do you think it means a lot to them? Did you know that my wife never gets tired of me saying I love you, and I never get tired of saying she's saying I love you. I never get tired of their kids, the grandkids. And you never get tired of that. You know what that tells me? They really do. And that it's important to them, that they mean that. Would you say, since God put 600 times about anger, that he has something to say about it? That it's very important in our own lives. Because we all, you know, sometimes that anger, boy, we think, well, that's righteous anger. You know what? I was listening to one message. And in fact, it was a message, and it was one of the points was on wrath by Dr. Mark Minnick. And he said, you know something? We always say this, righteous indignation or against sin. And very rarely, because of my flesh, do I ever meet that. Because it's always my self-interest. Really, we want it our way. But yet, whoa, oh boy, that person is wicked. That person's a sinner. And we respond in an angry way, which is not godly. But yet, we let it go because, oh, that person, no. Think of what Christ did. By the way, did Christ ever condone sin? Of course not. But we see there's five phases of anger. There's the first phase of you're upset or you're a discomfort. When there's a discomfort that comes in. And then there's a resentment that comes in. One man put it this way, an irritation or an indignation. There's a resentment. Something must be corrected. Then there's the wrath, the desire for revenge, or there's wrathfulness. There's a strong desire for revenge. And then there's the reckless fury of violence. In other words, a loss of emotional control. And then lastly, that's uncontrolled rage, a total loss of that emotional and physical control. It seeps in there and starts. It started in the brothers, long before now. Did you know when those sins and things happen, it doesn't just happen? Very rarely does something ever just happen. Oh, no, it's all being built up to it. Yes, in our sin life, it's being built up. There's something, as a general rule, many times, and there can be, but as a general rule, there's something that we're allowing in our life to strengthen that which we're about ready to do. It really is. And so what is it in our lives that might even bring this unbelief in, that will bring this anger? So what are some, let me ask you another question. What are some visible evidences of anger? Visible evidences of anger. You tell me. What do you think? Clenching your fist, okay. Along with that would be emotion, gritting your teeth, clenching your fist. Great. Yeah, okay, good. I think you're explaining that really good, Lewis. Oh, you've seen it too many times. Oh! There's never a mirror there, right? What? Chris? Facial expressions, yeah. Boy, more is caught than taught, huh? Yeah. I mean, how many times have you towards your kids? Huh? Yes, ma'am.
Not that I would ever have done this, but walking out on people.
You know what that's called? That silent treatment. Have you ever had that? When boy, there's a displeasure, and it says, okay, I'm just... Or all of a sudden, I'm just not going to talk to you. Boy, I remember, I know when I've done that. In fact, when I was thinking of that one, specifically, I was thinking of my father. When we'd be talking about something and we would disagree, maybe theologically, or not doctrinally, but interpretation of it, he'd get mad at me because I didn't believe it. I wouldn't go right with him. What he would do is he would just stop talking to me. Wouldn't keep talking. And then I learned it good. No. But isn't that true? Sometimes we don't think that of anger, do we? Oh, no, I'm just not saying anything because I'm going to lose it. Well, I'm glad you're not going to lose it outside, but you're already lost it inside. What else? What are some other things? Slamming the door. I can't believe that Dave would ever do that. Other things. How about being irritable? There's irritation, pressures, inward tension. What about, here's one, how about impatience? You think impatience is an evidence of anger? Boy, it's not doing right when I want it. I've asked you to do this, and you're 18 seconds late, you know, and it's impatience. How about this one? We haven't said this one. Well, I'll let you say it. What are some other things? Yeah, and sort of not protect it, but camouflage it. But really, that sarcasm is, you know, this is a good one. Yeah. What else? Yeah, raised voice. That's one I thought would be one of the first ones to come up. Boy. You mean to tell me you? The raised voice. What are some others? Just go by experience, folks. You'll get it. Oh, wow. I said slinging things, and Marlene spoke up. How about, here's another one that I sometimes, what about unkind words? Huh? All evidences of anger. How about this? A quarrelsome attitude. always wanting to argue. Or there's something that isn't, and you're going to argue it to your point. You know, there's been people, folks, and I've tried, I'm sure I haven't made it through all the time, but there's people that I'll talk to about the Lord, and I'll give a truth, and boy, they don't think they're angry, but they're angry because they're just going to argue it, or they'll just say, now, in other words, stop it. You know I have that problem, so stop it. They quarrel, they argue. And that's all part of anger. So what are causes of anger in the Bible? Why do people get angry? I'm going to give you a verse that I want you to come up with. I want us to think this evening. It's going to be Bible. I'm going to give you a verse, and I want you to come up with what are the causes, what made that person get angry. Some of them might be the same thing, but if you want to follow along, but I'll be going to many different verses, but let me start out with number one. In Genesis 4:5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Pretty much we'll see the wrath, the word wrath, or rage in every one of the verses. Does the Bible say that Cain was angry? Yes. So, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. You know the story in the verse. What was the cause of his anger? What? Pride? Yep. One. What? Okay. Okay. What else? What? Jealous? How about this? Did God accept his sacrifice? God didn't accept his sacrifice. So, in other words, he avoided it. He abandoned it. Or he didn't accept that. The cause of it. Listen, it was not accepted. What I gave you. Listen, this was the best fruits I had. I'm this great gardener. I have all this fruit. This is the best I had. And you're not accepting that. And how many times do you and I are the cause of anger is someone's not accepting maybe who you are. Maybe you don't accept who someone is. That's one. As one man put it, Cain murders Abel because his sacrifice was not accepted by God while Abel was accepted. Someone put it this way. Anger is one letter short of danger. Call me naive. I've never heard that before. but I thought that was good. Anger is one letter short of danger. And that was the case with Abel. That anger, one letter short, danger, and Abel lost his life. 1 Samuel 18, verses 8 through 11. Now, I'll read it to you, and you get the story behind it. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. By the way, what did we say the definition of anger is? Displeasure, emotional displeasure. They have ascribed unto David 10,000s. And to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can be have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forth. And it came to pass in the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played in his hand at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. Sounds like the brothers of Joseph here. But it says, and Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. The saying was, Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. So, what would be the cause of that anger? Okay. Okay. What else? Fear. Okay, good. Pardon me? Okay, great. Of course, jealousy would be probably the main thing as we all talk about it. It's paying attention to who? Others, not you. You mean someone else does as good as I or better than I do? You mean to tell me that person is getting that award when I really know I deserve that? And they're paying attention to others. And, wait a second. What am I, dog meat? You know? Pretty much I'm dog meat. Thanks a lot, hon. Boy. Mother's Day, you can say anything. I mean, you go and right in front of you all, she calls me dog meat. I mean, I tell you. So, 2 Kings 5:12. Are not Abana and Parphar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. Nahum. He went in a rage. What caused him anger there? Pride. Okay, what else? Pride's really the root of all of it, isn't it? Yeah, let's get to the practical so we can see. It's easy to say pride, but you know, we need to get to some of these things specifically because we're there. And the only way we can battle it is realize this is what it's coming. Unbelief. Okay. 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 Yeah. In other words, what you know, all you were saying, you probably could put it in this one word. Expectation. Everything you said. Is that not the case with us? Anger? A cause? We expect this, but that's not what we're getting. Huh. Anger comes, doesn't it? Huh. Because of our expectations. We're not looking at it through the eyes of God. We're looking at it through our eyes and the emotion of displeasure because we're expecting this. Nahum says, I am a captain. And listen, those rivers are good. I'm going in this filthy, dirty thing. His expectation was a prophet to come and see him, and the prophet didn't even see him. He had his servant tell him to go wash. You mean, who do you think you are, Elijah? No, the question is, I've got to realize who I am. And so we see those are causes. As the Word of God says, my soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Psalm 62, verse 5. 2 Chronicles 16:10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison house, for he was in a rage and hit with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. What is that? Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. In other words, the prophet Jeremiah declared the word of the Lord to him, and Asa, the Bible says, he was wroth with the seer, the prophet. What caused that anger? Okay, let's go even a little more exact, specific. Along the same line, you got it exactly, but what did the prophet tell him? What do we consider? What the prophet said, thus saith the what? The Lord. So it's his word, isn't it? He got annoyed with the word of God because it wasn't what he wanted to hear. Do you and I ever get annoyed with the word of God? Heaven forbid. Anger's unbelief. It's a cause of anger because the Word of God says one thing and that's going to change my lifestyle. Esther 3:5. Okay, ladies, here you go. You've been in Esther now, so you should be able to come up with this like that. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. What caused his being full of wrath? I know, pride. Easy answer, pride. Let's find out, get into what caused that pride. Entitlement. Very good. What? Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Have you ever been defied? There it is, a defiance. Mordecai, in essence, defied Haman. We don't like it when we're defied. Let's not use such a strong word. But when things like that happen, boy, we don't like it. And there's a burning that starts, a frustration. There's a burning. If you don't catch it. How about Luke 4:28? And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. This is talking about Jesus in his hometown. He heard all these things. And they all said that he was just a carpenter's son, not the man of God. In other words, their assumptions about who he was were what? Inaccurate. An assumption instead of getting to the facts and the truth. Isn't that the truth? How many times do you come up with it? You are irritated at someone. You are angry at someone. And you just didn't get the facts. And if you would have just gotten the facts and the truth about it, you never would have been angry. It's so true. Well, if I would have just known that, and there's egg all over your face. But you went through that whole emotion, that sin, that emotion, that stress, the heartbeat got up bigger, faster. And if you just would have found out, well, maybe there's more to the story that I don't know. How many times have had to, I mean, just within about a year and a half ago, Adam mentioned something that happened at the school. At Maranatha, and where a person was relieved of their position, their job or position, and you know what happens when that person is liked, and part of that person is doing really well and doing good and right, they jump on that bandwagon, don't they? But they don't know the whole story. They don't know the disrespect and the defiance of authority because they don't get the whole story. And what happens is we get angry. I'm not tired of it, but you know, how many times do I hear people say this or that or bother? I turned to someone and said, sounds to me like you need to go talk to that person. Because you don't know the whole story. And I didn't know the whole story or anything like that, but I do know everything that's involved. I said, I think you'll find out something different. Even though I don't know, but I knew the character. I said, I think you'll find out something different. That's something that you have to, no one else can do that for you. Folks, realize that you need to find the right information, or you're gonna get all boiled up and frustrated, and you don't have to. Well, in Acts 19:28, and when they had heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" In other words, what was happening? Their business was affected. Their business was affected. And what did they do? The aftermath of the gospel spreads, but it affected their business. And so we are angry. You heal someone that was doing my work for me? And then listen to this verse in 1 Samuel 20, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, "Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of David to thine own confusion and unto thy confusion of thy mother's nakedness?" What caused him to be angry there? That might be a little harder one. If you want to look at it, it's in 1 Samuel 20, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, "Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast..." What do you think caused his anger? Okay, good. There's sort of a, not a controversial thing, but something that I read that I come up with. I'm not sure that that's true, but it's a thought at least. Notice what happens here. Who saw, says Saul's in great anger, and who's he really angry at? David. But yet he's angry at his son. And who is he blaming? His wife! Isn't that the best one to blame anyways? Yeah. And what did he do? What was the cause of it? He used his wife's illustration of her twice, but he was angry at his son, but his anger was so boiled, he hated David. And what do we see here? What is the very cause of that? In other words, if you don't take care of anger in the past, can you imagine what your present's like? I wouldn't be surprised. And the thought was, maybe he didn't take care of things in his wife because he called her not a very nice name. He mentions to her, he mentioned about her, "You are of a perverse woman. You're a son of a perverse woman." Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound real kind to me. So I don't know if the Scripture is using it. It could just be because he's so mad at Jonathan. But there is the principle that you see all through our lives and through Bible illustrations where if you don't take care of anger in the past, you're really going to have problems in the future and in the present. You're going to continue. It's going to be continual bringing up, and you're still going to keep coming and coming. Notice what happened with the brothers of Joseph. So, what are the different aspects of anger? Well, there's squelched anger, there's swift anger that we have all past Psalm 37:8, and swift anger you have, and the Bible says, "Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools," in Ecclesiastes 7:9. There's slow anger. "He that's slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." And that wrath is that inward, that not that blow-up wrath. There's suspended anger. "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and his glory is to pass over transgression." There's shunned anger. "Make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man. Thou shalt not go." There's senseless anger. "But I say unto you," in Matthew 5:22, "that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." Senseless anger. So, your temper is a funny thing. Of course, you can't get rid of it. Think of it. You can't get rid of it by losing it. Your anger, you can't get rid of it by losing it. So how do you deal with your anger? How do you deal with anger? Well, there's one book that was written. In the book, When Anger Hits Home, the author gives vivid illustrations of how each of us express anger by introducing readers to four personalities. Let me just give you these four, and we'll go further and look at how to deal with your anger. There's Stella, the straight shooter. She expresses anger at the source of her irritations. They may be loud or calm, but they get angrier quicker than others. Sounds like Saul, King Saul. Then there's Dan, the deflector. Huh? We got you, Dan. He expresses his anger in such a way that those involved in causing the anger don't even know about their anger. He vents his anger toward others instead of venting it on the actual source of anger. There's Karen, the keeper. She holds her anger inward until she is with people whom she feels safe. Then she expresses it, and sometimes with crying and looking very sympathetic. Then the fourth one is Randy, the revenger. He likes to vent his anger by evening the score. He doesn't get mad, he just gets even. He waits for the opportunity of revenge and enjoys it. So how do we deal with this anger? Tell me. I'll read a verse. You tell me how we... The discretion of man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over transgression. That's Proverbs 19:11, Proverbs 17:14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. What would be a good principle? How do you deal with anger in your life to stop it? Well, I think those verses can infer, why don't we just ignore petty disagreements? Why don't we just ignore those petty disagreements? You have a disagreement, and boy, we let it build up. How about this? Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. How do you deal with anger there? Avoid angry people. That's pretty simple on that one, isn't it? Do you want to? This is scripture here. Do you want to avoid the temptation of anger? Then don't be around angry people. Be kind to them, and I'm out of here. Your close friendships, because it does say, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. And then scripture tells us why. Because you're going to become just like him. You make that friendship, stay with him. Guess what? You're going to get irritated at the same things that man's getting irritated, and eventually you'll be irritated at him. But you'll get the same thing. You'll jump on his bandwagon, and then you're going to be against someone, and you don't even know the whole situation. How about interchange your feelings of honesty, love, and openness? In other words, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. When a man's temper gets the best of him, it reveals the worst of him. How about that open rebuke is better than secret love? In other words, find out the story. In other words, maybe there's something that you need to get right. I will never forget where it says open rebuke is better than secret love. And it is a real friend. In other words, you know what definition of friendship is? A friend is someone that knows all about you and still likes you. But the whole idea is, listen, a real friend is going to tell you like it is with a wonderful spirit. And I will never forget in grad school, there are two other friends of mine. We lived in an apartment about a mile away from the university. And they're in Greenville, BJ, and we in grad school. And that night, it was sort of like, if I could title that night, it probably would have been, Let's Kill Mark Love Night. And this one friend just told me this one principle in my life that really was, boy, and I remember sitting against the wall, and we were on the second floor, I was sitting against the wall, and I could tell I was just getting irritated and irritated. And yes, I probably was really starting to get angry. And I got up real quick. He sort of flinched. And I opened the door and I walked out the door and I walked. And I remember walking. It was late at night, really early in the morning. I probably walked and prayed for about an hour. And you know what I came to? That rotten guy was right. And of course, he wasn't a rotten guy. He was a wonderful friend, and today I still keep in contact with him. Probably talk to him probably about once a month. I call him, or he calls me, or once every 2 months. He's preached here before, quite a few years ago. But you know something? That was a real friend. Maybe sometimes we need to take care of things so that we won't get festered up. How about, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of a fool. In other words, investigate all the facts before reacting. Be slow to anger. Find out what the whole story is. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rises his spirit than he that taketh the city. How about surrender your rights to God? You see, we get angry when we feel our rights have been stepped on or abused. So give your rights to God, because that's where they belong. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. In other words, intercept your anger before the sun goes down. Intercede and pray for those who offend you and anger you. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Romans 12:14. How about when someone, you're just starting to feel that, your old nature, just start praying for them. You think ill of someone, or you're going to complain because something didn't go your way or something. Just start praying for them. And you know, when you're out of a heart, start praying for someone. It's really hard to be angry with them. It really is. Well, that's what I know I'm going to do wrong. I'm not going to read the Bible because then I have an out. My father said to me one time when he was talking to a psychologist, different things, a Christian psychologist, he was saying that in our minds, what we do is we have different rooms, or we have departments and in our minds. And when we're in that one room, it's like that's the only room in our house. And so we're fine because this is it. And we've got to realize that we need to pray and realize that get the whole story. Colossians says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Did you know, Mom and Dad, you can, even today, your grown kids, you can discourage your kids by your wrath. It says, provoke not your children to anger. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Imagine what your anger was like to those who you hurt. Listen to those whom you've hurt with your anger and correct it and get it right. Individual responsibility for your anger, and you must accept it and realize, as long as you play the blame game and justify your wrath or rage, you're never going to get victory over it. You play the blame game. That person deserved it. You're never going to get over your wrath. It's going to come again. Different face, different situation, until you look at yourself. Identify anger as a red flag from past guilt and offenses. You see, unresolved conflicts of the past tend to build and eventually explode into the present. For this reason, we're not to let the sun go down on our wrath. We're not to give Satan an opportunity to gain foothold in our life. So immediately correct the past offenses and conflicts. Because anger is emotional explosion that results from a building up of past tension. So interpret the benefits of circumstances that cause your anger. Why did God allow this example? Why did God allow this to happen? What is the Lord trying to teach me and accomplish in my life? Are there blind spots, weaknesses, or failures that have created the problem? When we fail to see our own faults, others will react to them in ways that will usually make us angry. If we detect our own faults and correct them, we remove a source of anger in our life and in the lives of others. You see, when anger is left unchecked, it smolders and turns to bitterness in our lives. And when this happens, we're in serious spiritual trouble. And that bitterness is unresolved anger. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit when we get to Joseph when he's in prison, about that bitterness. But one man said, "Don't fly into a rage unless you are prepared for a rough landing." Don't fly into a rage unless you are prepared for a rough landing. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us warnings.